Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Gun Crazy America, a history and critique of our gun culture, traces America's experience with guns since the arrival of the English around 1600 to recent times. Author Frank Edgerton explores the evolution of our preoccupation with guns, the history of our gun culture, and how it has affected generations of Americans. He believes it is now time to consider turning our backs on the gun culture. Frank is Professor Emeritus of History, University of Wisconsin, Parkside. He's the most published author on history of ecological sciences. He's published 3 books, written numerous articles and reviews. This is his first book for the general public. Motivated by his concern about gun violence, Frank Edgerton, author of Gun Crazy America, A History and Critique of Our Gun Culture, recently featured, by the way, at the prestigious L.A. Festival of Books. And Frank joins us on This Week in America. Frank, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you.
Such a really important topic and so well handled by you, the book Gun Crazy America. Let's start with why you wrote this book. Why did you decide now was the time to write this book?
I actually decided to write it in 1968 when Robert F. Kennedy and Martin Luther King were both assassinated. But I had other things that I had to do, so I was not able to make progress very rapidly.
Well, and now is a good time because, boy, we really need to have this discussion. It's difficult to go a day without having some discussion and contemplation of the gun situation in the country. People would ask, okay, you've done an excellent job in writing this, but what are your qualifications? What experience, what qualifications for you to write this book?
My qualifications are that I am a professional historian. And this is a book of history.
And it's a different perspective. It does present things in a different manner. The book is Gun Crazy America, A History and Critique of Our Gun Culture. Frank Edgerton is our guest on the program. Book is available at Amazon.com. If you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, you can link on directly to information on the book. So who is the target audience? Who is this book designed for?
For all Americans, everyone in the country.
And there's so many topics that you cover. Talk a little bit about some of the topics, because this really is a historical evaluation of guns in the U.S.
Well, as you say, I do start in the 1600s when the English came to America. And the reason they were able to stay when they got here was that they had the weapons that were superior to the bows and arrows and spears of the Indians. And so those weapons, obviously, were primarily guns. And so gun culture was part of our heritage really from the very start. And so then I follow the history of America from 1600 down to 1776. In 1776, we broke away from the English. And so the way we were able to do that is with guns. Of course, the English had guns, but we got guns from the French so that we were equal in firepower to the English, and there were more of us here than there were English soldiers. Then I move on to shooting animals and targets. That's chapter 3. And by that I mean hunting and contests for gun prizes. Hunting, of course, is important in America, and it was from the very beginning. So the guns initially were used both for hunting and for defending themselves from the Indians. And that heritage of hunting has persisted beyond the War of Independence, and it persists down to today. Now, hunters are not, by and large, people who shoot other people. At least they don't do so intentionally.
Yes.
The target hunters are in the same category, but these are people who have great value on their guns.
With us on the program, Frank Edgerton. He is the author of Gun Crazy America, A History and Critique of Our Gun Culture. As you can tell, this is from a historical perspective. It covers a lot of topics throughout the course of Frank's book. And the book is, and it gives us great credibility, as it's highly sourced. Talk about the sources that you used for the book.
Well, I used sources that a historian would use. They're very easily obtained, either from interlibrary loan or from the internet. So all the historical sources I needed were readily available.
And great references in the book on Crazy America. We mentioned this begins early in the history of the U.S. Why did it begin at that particular stage in the book?
Why did it begin? Well, I just mentioned that it was with the settlement of the English,
yes,
in America in the early 1600s, both at Jamestown and at Plymouth Colony. And so the English spread out from those places. They eventually had to use their guns not only against Indians, but also against the Dutch, the Spanish, and the French, who were also trying to settle in North America.
The book
and
is...
I move on,
yes, go ahead.
I move on now to Chapter 4, which is making and selling guns and ammunition. When Americans arrived, there were no industrial production of guns. Each gun was made separately, and so that was handicraft production. And so Americans could do handicraft production as easily as the Europeans could, providing the proper people with the skills that come to America, and they made sure that they did. So gun making became very important very early in American history. And as the Industrial Revolution occurred during the middle of the 1700s, gun making was very prominent in the industrial process that made the industrialists wealthy. So gun production then required gun advertising. And so that gun culture was reinforced by the producers of guns. And so during the Civil War, America had four very prominent gun makers, such as Remington and Winchester and so forth, who were advertising. And then they themselves had their guns used during the war. So the Civil War promoted gun manufacturing.
The book is that we're talking about is Gun Crazy America, A History and Critique of Our Gun Culture by Frank Edgerton. Let's talk a little bit about the reason for the Second Amendment, why that was part of the U.S. Constitution.
It was because the English, when there was the British Tea Party, that is, the Americans wouldn't pay tax on tea, they sent in their soldiers to control America. And they sent a contingent of soldiers up to Lexington and Concord to seize a store of guns that Americans owned. However, the Americans were tipped off about the British coming by Paul Revere. And so they were ready for the British when they got there, and they were more numerous than the British, and they pushed them back into Boston. So that was the beginning, really, of the war. And it started with gunfire from the start. And so when we got our independence, it was because we had the gunpowder to do so, and we just wanted to be sure that no king or king-like person would ever try to seize our guns again and make us vulnerable. So that was the cause of the Second Amendment.
Fascinating, a historical perspective on the much-talked-about Second Amendment. What does history tell us about the history of the NRA? What does that tell us?
The NRA was established in 1871. The Civil War had lasted from 1861 to 65. And what the Northern forces discovered was that the recruits from the South were from rural areas where people did hunting. And, of course, there were some hunters in the North, but the great number of recruits for the Union were from the cities where guns were really not very numerous, and even the ones that were there were very seldom used. So these Confederates knew how to use guns effectively. The Yankees did not, by and large. They were, of course, trained, but still their training did not match the skills of the Confederate. So in 1871, there were some veterans in New York City who decided they needed to establish a National Rifle Association and get members who would be trained in fighting before there was a war to be confronted. And so the NRA, its first focus really was on target shooting and giving prizes to winners of target shooting. And one of their contests was with the Irish. The Irish sent over their shooters to New York, and the Americans won the meet. And so that was a great boost to American morale for our gun culture. Then, after the World War One, the country as a whole began to tire of gun makers advertising. And so the gun makers, the production, contacted the NRA and asked if they would be the proxy advertisers for the manufacturers. Well, that was a windfall of funds for the NRA, and they readily accepted. And they have been doing that ever since. So that was after World War One, and so the NRA changed its character considerably in the 1920s and 30s.
Right.
From what it had been earlier.
Why do our laws make America safe for guns, but dangerous for people.
And that's the title of one chapter in which I discuss the actual gun laws that exist at the federal and the state and in some places at the local level. All of those levels of legislature knew about the Second Amendment. They knew that Americans were not going to be having their guns taken away. So the laws that were passed, by and large, were laws that the NRA thought would not threaten American guns. And those laws were never adequate for our needs, because the same Second Amendment that protected the rifles for battle also protected the pistols for personal use. And so those guns were also protected. So there was never any significant attempt to confiscate guns from cities where most of the shootings of other Americans took place.
A couple minutes left in the program, going by way too quickly. It's such an important topic. The book is Gun Crazy America. I'll give you information on it here in a few minutes. What solution do you suggest to the deadlock between the gun control advocates and the NRA?
Well, there is a stalemate between the advocates, who now far outnumber the members of the NRA. However, the NRA still has its funds from the manufacturers of guns, and they use those funds as campaign contributions for political races, and they have intimidated many, in fact, perhaps most of our legislators into not challenging the NRA judgment on which laws are acceptable. So a minority of members of the NRA, I think its membership totals maybe at one time around five million, and it has been declining for years ever since, because of the high rate of gun violence in America. So the NRA has been losing membership, but it has not been losing the manufacturers' funding of the NRA. And so that disproportionate situation between the great majority of America who want stricter gun laws and the NRA that funds our legislators has persisted down to today.
With us on the program is Frank Edgerton. That's E-G-E-R-T-O-N. His book is Gun Crazy America, A History and Critique of Our Gun Culture. The book's available at Amazon.com. You can link onto our website and get all the information. Frank, a fascinating conversation today. Thank you so much for being with us on the program. Very important book. It's available at Amazon, Gun Crazy America. Frank, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
It has been our pleasure. Frank Edgerton, our guest, Gun Crazy America, A History and Critique of Our Gun Culture, book available at Amazon.com. And, of course, if you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, you can link on directly to information on Frank's book. We're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.